And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and Dr. June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Hello everybody, welcome to Truth to Wellness Radio Show that airs every Thursday from 6 to 6:30. My name is Dr. T, I'm one of your hosts, and we are going to start with a new part of our teaching series. We are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I felt this fall to start with a teaching series is I really believe that good knowledge of the Word and good acceptance of the true Word of God. I'm not talking about philosophies and things that people say, but the Word of God as it's written. You have to understand, the Word of God is powerful. But again, I'm talking about the Scripture. I have seen and heard too many times people misuse it. I have seen too many cases where people say, you know, donate to our ministry and God will bless you and this and that. And it may be the case, it may not be. The fact is that we have to eventually sit down and read the Word of God ourselves. There is nothing in there that a person, especially with the help of the Holy Spirit, cannot understand it on his own. And so I think it's important to go back to that beginning. To that end, we are starting a series on the Holy Spirit, his gifts, and how he works in a church and in our hearts. And I have asked Pastor Howard, a pastor who I respect very highly, a pastor who lives in very much the grace and the Spirit, and you can see it. You can see it every day. I have asked him to share this because I cannot think of a better authority than Pastor Howard to share on the Holy Spirit and his workings. And so I would ask you to approach it with an open mind. This is not a teaching of one denomination or another. I think we get too caught up in that. This is about our personal knowledge, our personal understanding and acceptance of the Word of God, its power, and eventually and hopefully leading to our acceptance of and embracement of a relationship with God, the relationship that I believe God wants us to have, but very often gets obscured by various church dogmas and teachings. Now, before we do that, I would like us to actually start by listening to a song by Paul Wilbur, Baruch Adonai.
Blessed is the Lord, all the battle now, ever hail.
Something when I listen to Paul Wilbur that just has me ready to dance and sing. So starting with this new series on the Holy Spirit, I just want to give you a heads up that if you find that you have missed a series or missed one of these episodes, you are welcome to go to our website. It is truth2wellness, all one word, .com. And once you go there, if you go under radio program and season 3, you will find this and other episodes. Now I have with me here Pastor Howard. He's perhaps one of the best people that I can think of that can teach this subject matter. So Pastor Howard, go ahead.
Yes, it's so good to be with you today. I don't think there could be a more exciting subject than the one we're going to share. We will make much use of our Bibles. If you have a Bible available or you have a notepad and a pen, take down notes, because we're going to make a lot of use of our Bible. This is not an in-depth study on the Holy Spirit, but an overview, hopefully to whet our appetites so that we can dig into the Word of God. Acts 19:2, that's the fifth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 2. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We've not so much heard as whether there is a Holy Spirit." Here's the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. They'd never heard of the Holy Spirit, and yet they were Christians. The Holy Spirit had done a work in their lives. Sadly, many in the church today, perhaps even some listening to this broadcast, are like these disciples, unaware of the Holy Spirit and his incredible ministry to the believer. But Jesus taught that the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life was essential. In fact, him coming into every believer's life to comfort and teach was the reason Jesus could say to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it's for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him." Just imagine, here are the disciples. They've been with Jesus 3 years. They've loved him, walked with him, seen all the miracles he did, and then he's taken and nailed to a cross, and they think that's the end, and then he's raised to life again, and he comes back to them, and they spend some days with him, and then he comes and says, "I've got some good news for you," and they're wondering what it is. And he says, I'm going away. And that's not very good news, I don't think they thought. He says, I'm going away so that the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will come to you. If I depart, I will send him. Notice, he didn't say, I'll send it. He said, I'll send him. It's to your advantage. Just didn't make any sense to these disciples. Remember the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Lord, if only you had been here. Jesus was limited in his manhood. He was all God and all man, but he was limited to one place at a time. He couldn't be with Martha and Mary when they needed him. He was away and it took him time to get there, but as the Holy Spirit comes, he'll be with us every moment of every day, wherever we might be. So let's look at the fact that the Bible teaches us that there is one true living God, but that he's made up in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We all understand the Father, Jehovah, Father God. We understand his Son, Jesus, who came to be our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit. I've heard people say to me, I love God and I love Jesus, but don't talk to me about the Holy Spirit, as if it's something to be scared of, something that's strange and mysterious. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. The term Trinity refers to this unity of the three persons found in the Godhead. They're not three separate gods, but one. And perhaps the word triunity would be more helpful. We must realize that it's impossible for finite man to completely understand and explain infinite God. One of the little illustration I use is three in one is water, ice and steam. They're all completely different, and but they're one. They're one. Love these verses here. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. God didn't say, let me make man. He's speaking to someone. He's not speaking to the angels. He says, let us, plural, make man in our image, according to our likeness. How wonderful. And then the scripture in 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We have all three members of the Trinity there. So the first point to consider in our study of the Holy Spirit is that he is the third person of the Trinity. And as such, the Holy Spirit is God. So let's look now very briefly at these divine attributes assigned to the Holy Spirit that can only belong to God. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14, he is the eternal Spirit. Only God is eternal from everlasting to everlasting. Read these scriptures. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. Psalm 139, 7. He is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere. Only God is present everywhere. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. He is omniscient or all-knowing. Only God is all-knowing. How foolish that we should try to hide from him. I find it interesting that in natural man, a know-all is a pain. A man who knows it all is painful. But God is all-knowing. He knows all about us. And then in Luke 1, 35, he's called the power of God, establishing his omnipotence. Only God is all-powerful. Yet all these attributes are given to the Holy Spirit. These are attributes assigned to the Holy Spirit that we know can only belong to God. Now listen carefully, this is so important. Christians possess something that no other religion can offer. They have more than a set of rules to live by or a creed to guide them. They have God himself dwelling within their lives. How awesome that we have the Spirit of the living God living within us. As you read the Word of God, you will often find the Holy Spirit referred to in a symbol, in a picture form, to help us understand his characteristics. Sometimes he's mentioned as wind, or fire, oil, or the dove. There are those who will teach us that the Holy Spirit is just a force, a power. May the force be with you. No, Let me say emphatically, that is not what the Bible teaches. Here's some illustrations again from Scripture. The Holy Spirit is a person. Firstly, he can be lied to. Acts 5:3. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." Even in those two verses, it says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Why have you lied to God? In those two verses. So he's not a force, but a person. He can be resisted. Acts again, Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did. So do you. You can't resist a force, but you can resist a person. He can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He speaks. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them." He forbids. Acts 16:6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. He appoints, Acts 20:28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Many scriptures there appointing to the Holy Spirit as a person, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So let's look very briefly now at the work of the Holy Spirit. Always remember that all we ever know of God or have learned of God comes by the gracious revelation of the Holy Spirit. All that we've ever learned or understood of God has come because the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. Without his help, we would be completely in the dark. It is he who guides us into all truth. There's a little quote here, I like this. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we could no more understand the Bible than a blind man could judge a beauty contest. You got the reality of that. How could a blind man ever judge a beauty contest? How could we ever understand the working of God about his wonder, his glory, his grace in sending Jesus to be our Saviour if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit? Here's another scripture from John 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book in the New Testament. However, when he, look at how many times he is mentioned here, 8 times in 2 verses, not it, not a force, not the power be with you, he. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you all things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Could there be a more clear emphasis there on the work of the Holy Spirit as the person, the third person of the Trinity? So the Holy Spirit's work is to glorify Jesus, to draw us nearer to Jesus, and to make us more like Jesus. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit's work in our lives is to glorify Jesus, to draw us nearer to Jesus, and to make us more like Jesus. Here's some more scriptures. He convicts of sin. John 16:8. The Holy Spirit convicts men and women of sin. He causes us to see our own utterly lost and sinful condition before a holy God. He shows us ourselves, and then he shows us the Saviour. How wonderful. He baptizes us into Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 to 6. When a person comes in true repentance and living faith in Christ's substitutionary work on the cross, the Holy Spirit unites that one with Jesus in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. He dwells with the believer. If you have a firm and strong faith in Christ, He dwells within you. He's in your very being and your very heart. 1 Corinthians 6:19. The moment you became a Christian, a wonderful thing happened. God, by his Spirit, came to dwell with you. Our God is not a God who is afar off, but one who lives within us. I have a little saying here. Christianity is not a religion or a ritual, but a relationship. We have a relationship with the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ. He seals us. The guarantee, we have a guarantee. Like if you go to buy a car and you haven't got all the money, the salesman says, well, give me a deposit. Can you give me $1,000? I'll put it down and I'll keep it for you. That's a down payment, if you like, till we can go and pay for it. It says in Ephesians 1:13-14 and 2 Corinthians 5:5, the seal of the Spirit is that guarantee that we're his. It's his proof of ownership till he can take us home. We belong to him. He purchased us with his blood. You are sealed with the Spirit. One day he's going to come and take us home to be with himself. And then he's praying for us, praying with us. Romans 8:26. There are those times when we just don't know how to pray. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. There are times in my life where there's been difficult situations. I don't know how to use English. So I pray in the Spirit. I ask the Lord to help me, and he does. He says he helps us. And then he empowers us for service. We've just already read how the Holy Spirit came and filled the early disciples. Acts 1:8 says, on the day of Pentecost, they were waiting. The Holy Spirit came and filled the room. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. As I yield myself to God, the Spirit leads me and directs me and empowers me and enables me. I love this quote by R.H. Torrey. It is of the highest practical importance that we decide whether the Holy Spirit is a power we in our weakness and ignorance are somehow to get a hold of and use, or whether the Holy Spirit is a person, infinitely wise, infinitely holy, infinitely tender, who is to get a hold of us and to use us. So let's move on now to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible clearly teaches, and I personally believe, that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is for every believer and is a separate and subsequent experience to salvation. There are some who don't believe in what they would call the second blessing. Well, personally, I'm open to all that God has, whether it's a second blessing, a third blessing, a fourth blessing, or a fifth blessing. Remember that Jesus gave his disciples a tremendous task to do. I hope you will grasp this. Remember, there were just a few men and a few ladies, perhaps 120 or 150 at the most, who were told to spread this message of salvation throughout the whole known world. How did ordinary folk, fishermen, tax collectors, housewives, ever accomplish this great task? Well, let's read a couple of scriptures. Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Friends, if they needed this power, we certainly do. They needed this power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this great task. The greatest promise to the world is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest promise to the world. But the greatest promise to the church is Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God gave them a divine task to do, but he gave them a divine power to do it. So how do we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, simply you ask. It says in Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's to those who ask. Remember, it's like salvation. You can't earn it. It's a grace gift. And you don't even have to wait. Your responsibility is to come in faith and receive what God is promising you.
Thank you, Pastor Howard. This is now the end of part one. Considering how complex and how large this topic is, we have to break it up into subsections. And so I hope you join us next week as we go into part two. If you do miss any subsection or miss any part, you are welcome again to go to our website, truthtowellness.com. No spaces, so truthtowellness.com. And again, go under radio and then season 3, and you will see all the episodes there. All right, I hope that you have enjoyed this. I really believe that there is a lot of good material here that we have to consider and contemplate and kind of just rest in it. Rather than just trying to understand it with our minds, I think we have to kind of accept it with our hearts and experience it. It's one thing to know things with our mind, but it's another thing to actually be able to experience it. And so this is where my prayer is, that each and every one of you that's listening to this, that you actually receive it rather than just know it, to receive it, and that this leads to a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, if you already don't have one. God bless you all. And again, part two is next week at Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.